Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor, Dustin Daniels.
Have you ever noticed that when we deal with the subject of pornography, there always seems to be an excuse? If you're the spouse of someone entangled with porn, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He always has an answer, doesn't he? And if you're in the recovery side of porn, today's podcast will continue to show you the great lengths that we as addicts will go to cover up our sin. Many people come and they see me and they tell me that they've repented from their sin of looking at pornography, but yet the temptation is still there. It doesn't seem to go away. And, my first response to that is, of course the temptation is still there. If it were to go away, then we wouldn't need God. It's a false belief structure we have. We also tend to believe that repentance is a one-and-done type behavior, that we believe that once we repent from a specific sin, that we don't need to do it again. This is also a false belief. For us to move towards restoration, away from isolation, we must think of repenting and not repented. It's a continual act of submission, sometimes on a daily and hourly basis. Today, we continue our conversation on what's called trigger number 9, justification. This is all inside the sex spiral. This is part 2 of 3 that comes from the larger teaching series, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And in this trigger, we learn that we're justifying what we just did. In other words, I'm trying to convince you that it's okay, that my acting out in sin is perfectly normal, that looking at pornography somehow is a good idea. So in today's podcast, we're going to discuss 3 things. Number 1, the difference between justification and rationalization. Number 2, the 3 things that we do when we justify our behavior. And number 3, how we can actually choose to stop justifying our behavior. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is titled, Why Do We Always Have an Excuse? We always have an excuse, don't we? We always have an absurd answer. And it really is absurd. Like when you are literally at that rationalization trigger number 5, when you find yourself starting to talk yourself into doing something, if you would call your partner and go, this is the excuse that I'm giving myself right now. This is why I'm going to talk myself. And you would go, you're a fool. And we need someone to call us a fool at that moment, because if we don't have somebody to shock us out of our complacency, we're just going to continue to do what we've always done, right?
But then a week later, I'll try to use the same excuse as he just gave me or someone just gave me. Mm-hmm. See it completely differently.
That's a really good point. And that shows how deep the stuff runs, how powerful it is. It depends on what the meaning of the word is. If is means is and never has been, well, but see, that kind of answer, it just makes total sense to us because we're caught in this spiral. So rationalization is before we sin, right? It's to think about or describe something that makes it seem proper. We're talking ourselves into this. I basically now have to convince you of my thinking. Justification, on the other hand, what we're talking about tonight is the acceptable reason for doing something. And I believe that's your first blank. Acceptable reason. So justification, an acceptable reason for doing something, something that justifies an action. So because you did this, and this situation happened, see, I had to do it.
I had to do it because you said this to me, or this person treated me this way, and I'm the victim, and this is what I always do. It depends on what your shame story is. So why do we always have an excuse? Why do you think we always have to have an answer when we're at this trigger? You heard President Clinton say it twice.
Because we're liars.
He said, I need to protect myself and I need to protect my family. It's about self-protection.
Self-preservation.
Yeah. Because if I don't protect myself, who's going to protect me? It goes back to Genesis 3. Why did Adam hide? He was trying to protect himself. Why was he trying to protect himself? Because he sinned against God, and under God, he was completely and fully protected. But now that he rebelled against him, he has to protect himself because his hand of protection is now off of him. From the very beginning of humanity, things have not changed much, have they? We're still dodging, we're still hiding, we're still justifying, we're still blaming. All of us in here are blaming her, right? Whoever her is.
So by sinning, we're waiving God's protection. And then after we sin, we still feel like we need protection, but that's not there. So we do it to ourselves. We try to protect ourselves.
So we're trying to protect ourselves, right? But we're trying to protect ourselves in a sinful way. It's because if we really wanted to protect us and our family, then we would move forward into community. We would move towards restitution, trying to make the relationship right. We would move towards confession. We would try to make things right. But what we're trying to do is, I'm going to show you that I'm right. I'm going to prove to you that this is okay for me to do. And ultimately, all we're doing is we just continue to rebel. So justification on your worksheet is our attempt at self-protection and not facing the reality of what we've done. Ultimately, you guys, we can think about this as we're continuing our fantasy world into our sexual fantasy world into our fantasy world of our life. Because this is still fantasy. We're still thinking about something that's not reality. So our sexual fantasies are fantasies. They're not reality. And then when we get caught in this, I'm going to try to prove to you that this is right. But it's not. It's like a train wreck because your life is starting to hit reality at this point. And then when someone gives you when someone looks you in the eye and gives you a dose of reality, what happens to you? You get mad, right?
Angry.
We get angry. How dare you talk to me that way? What are you talking about? You're completely sideways. You're completely sideways with your family, with your wife, with God. The truth hurts. That's something the Lord showed me today. The truth is always the truth. It may be delivered wrong, like we may deliver a piece of truth wrong to where it's offensive, but it's still the truth. So when you justify your behavior, number one, you're sorry and angry that you got caught. You're sorry and or angry for the situation. And number three, but you refuse to own the consequences of your sinful actions. Ownership looks like this. Going to the people that you've sinned against and doing whatever it takes to fix that relationship. Whatever it takes. Some form of restitution. No matter the cost to me, right? That's owning the thing. It's not like saying, oh, I'm sorry. I'll try harder next time. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 1. James is the half-brother of Jesus. This is one of my favorite books personally because it has so much practical theology in it. Pastor Tom Schrader, if you know him, he says this is blue jean theology. You just kind of put it on and it's real world application. He writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also ourselves control ourselves in every single way." So notice as we go through this piece of scripture how much he talks about our words and our tongues. And what he's saying there in verse 2 is, unless we stop making excuses for our sin, we're going to continue to be a slave to it. Does that make sense? That the excuses in our lives, they just have to stop. Verse 3, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by a means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the captain chooses to go, and even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches." Was that a grand speech by President Clinton that I just read to you? It was a pretty grand speech. I'm sure he had several speech writers write it for him. Do you guys believe it? Did you believe a word that he said? What about Tiger? Remember Tiger Woods? You remember the "I'm sorry" speech that he gave after his fallout several years ago? He showed up behind a podium in a three-piece suit and just put his head down and just read. And he was no more sorry than a man on the moon. He was like a robot.
Sorry he got caught.
Sorry he got caught. At the end of verse 5 here, James writes, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." You guys experience that? You say something comes out of your mouth before you crank down your filter a little bit, and you go, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish my tone would have been a little bit better." Verse 6, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." So what's James saying here? I had a conversation with a wife yesterday or the day before. She's getting ready to get married. Her fiance, heavily involved in pornography, and for the past 2.5 years, he's just completely lied about it. And she said, "It's one thing to do what he's done, but Dustin, I've asked him over and over and over, is this a problem? No, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine." He lied. So it's not just the acting out in sin, but to her, the lying, she actually said that the lying is more painful to me now than the actual act of whatever he did. And that's what James is saying. Is that this is going to set your whole life on fire. That's when we talk about lamp sobriety, L-A-M-P. Lying, it's not a coincidence that it's number one. Because that's the easiest thing for us to do, right? We can lie to our accountability partner. We can lie to ourselves. We're good at that, right? Did President Clinton, did his sin set his life on fire? How about you guys? Whose life is on fire right now?
Did you hear that? This guy's wife cared more about the lying than her husband's porn use. Could it be the same with your own wife, guys? Well, my encouragement to you is to ask her and to start this discussion. Your life does not have to stay on fire. Communication is the way to extinguish this blaze, I promise you. And I would encourage you that you do that before this whole thing becomes this inferno and burns away everything that you've ever known, like it did mine. I mentioned being lamp sober in the teaching, L-A-M-P. It's an acronym for lying, adultery, that could be physical or emotional. The M is masturbation and the P is pornography, lamp sober. So in the recovery world, if someone asks if you're lamp sober, that's what that means. So let me ask you a question. How long have you been lamp sober? If you find yourself in the spiral over and over and over again, I want you to go to the website, DustinDanielsRadio.com, send me an email, and tell me what I can do to help. Now, if you're a spouse and don't know what to do because of your husband's pornography, his addiction, his behavior, his anger, my encouragement to you is to do the same. Jump on the website, send me an email, ask your questions, and I can address them on this podcast because your questions are not unique to you. We tend to think that, but that's not the case. So when you write in, I'll be responding to thousands of people in 80 countries who are listening, and they want to know and learn just like you do. One thing that you can do right now to take a step to be lamp sober is to make that decision to put internet filtering software on your computer, phone, your tablets, all your digital devices. If you don't have anything on your computers, your phones right now, let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com. I've been using Covenant Eyes filtering software for years. When you visit that website, you can receive a 30-day free trial. It won't cost you anything. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And if you sign up, you're also supporting this ministry of seven places and this podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's a grace group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives. It doesn't matter if you're together or separated, sleeping on the couch, single, divorced, it doesn't matter. Everybody is welcome. We love you. And I just want to invite you to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We are in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. Once again, email me your comments and your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power." And that power, that life-giving power, is in the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.